Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible class time and for our devotional in the middle of this week. Hope the week is going well for you and your loved ones. We wish everyone a great remainder of the week. We hope that your family is doing well. We hope that the school activities are going okay and that those of you who've started back in some way to the workplace this week are all doing well. I should tell you from the start tonight about our Bible class that it will only be of interest to you if you have found out that while you always hope your faith will be on the mountaintop, that you've always also found that it includes some valleys. Only if you found out that along with your highest hopes, there also are some hesitations and some halting hope from time to time. Or only if you have found out that your emotions bounce a little bit, up and down sometimes. I'm saying that with a smile because I don't think I've left out very many of us with that disclaimer. This is a study tonight that will be for all of us, and we thank you for being with us for it. Tonight, John Davis is going to help us as we sing in our devotional time. Gene Kenyon is here. He will lead us in a prayer in a moment. We'll have our Bible class time, and then John Ewing will help us with our congregational announcements and then our shepherd's prayer for the middle of this week. Thank you again. Best to all of you and to your family. Thank you for your encouragement throughout what we're experiencing at this time. Pray for our congregation as you go along through this week, and we appreciate it much. Thanks, John and Gene. We ask you if you have your Bible close by, if you would open it to Psalms 42 and 43. For those of us from Watermill, these two Psalms will be our daily Bible reading on Friday of this week. They deal with a spiritual reality which I think needs our attention now. It always needs to be something that we're aware of. And these two Psalms will help us to be faithful to the Lord and to love Him and to be patiently enduring in our lives in ways that we need to be able to do. My soul thirsts for you, O God. The thirst of life are the things that make us feel dissatisfaction when they're not met. The thirst in our lives are sometimes subject to misdirection, and we try to find fulfillment in ways that can only wreck us instead of satisfying us. The thirst in our lives, the really deep ones, are meant to be directed toward the living God. We long for life. The living God is the one who can satisfy that longing. Someone described the two Psalms that we're reading tonight as a time when faith sat down and had a talk with faith. You ever find yourself kind of sitting down and having to talk with yourself, trying to encourage yourself, trying to say, now come on here, let's think about what we're doing. You can do this. It's going to be okay. All of us, I think, talk to ourselves in that way from time to time. It's hard for us to realize that faith might have to sit down and have a talk with faith. And that's what happens in these two little Psalms. It's a situation where the writer can say, why are you cast down, O my soul? And in the next statement, my soul is cast down. There is the gap between what we know ought to be and what we sometimes find really is. If we're not prepared to deal with that, we either blame ourselves, we put more pressure on ourselves, or we simply give up. None of those are the outcomes that God wants us to have or that we want each other to have. Therefore, it's a good time for us to let our faith have a talk with our faith. I might take a moment just to mention that while these are two psalms, it's one prayer. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the psalms are not chapters. They are individual songs or prayers or poems. It's a collection of them. These two are thought to have been originally one until they were separated by the Greek translation of the Old Testament. We refer to it as the Septuagint. The line of thought through these two little psalms is the same. And it's interesting that in book 2 of the Psalms, which begins here at chapter 42 or at Psalm 42, all of the psalms through this whole part, except for one, have a heading or a superscription to them, except Psalm 43. That would suggest that maybe the two belong together. The experience that they describe, certainly you can follow, and we'll see, there is a flow of thought from beginning to end. Most telling, however, is the refrain, like the chorus in this song. It's a statement made three times that we will come across in our reading here. The repeated saying in Psalm 42 verse 5, Psalm 42 verse 11, and Psalm 43 in verse 6. And here it is. You'll find a little bit of variation in the translations of it, but here is a way to see kind of what we're dealing with. The writer says to his own soul, "Why are you cast down? Why are you downcast? Why are you bowed down? Oh, my soul." My soul is myself, my real true self, the part of me that lives and thinks and is and is a being. "And why are you in turmoil? Why are you in distress? Why are you downcast within me?" And then you hope in God, like he's speaking to himself. "Self, hope in God, for I shall praise him again, my salvation and my God." Now the last line, you'll find some variation in translation. One will say, God whose countenance is my help, instead of salvation, or my help is in his presence, or some saying like that. And some versions will put the "Oh my God" here at the end in the beginning of the next verse. But generally speaking, you can get the idea. Someone who is expressing the challenges that he faces in trying to stay close to the Lord has to remind himself that he has reason to not let the downcast feeling or the distressed feeling or the turmoil feeling overcome him. He's reminding himself that his hope is in God, and he's reminding himself that God is his help and God's presence is the satisfaction and the fulfillment that he needs in his life. So we'll watch for that statement as we go along. Now, with that in mind, let's offer a general overview or a general outline of this prayer that we have here. We might just read it together, and then we'll go back and touch on some points when we've done so. First off, the first five verses. Here is the feeling that the singer has. Here's what he's experiencing at the time. Here's where he is in his emotional life and in his spiritual journey at this moment. Listen to him. "As a deer pants for flowing streams." You can almost hear a deer who's been chased through the dry country, maybe by a dog or something like that, get to the dried up stream or the flowing stream, panting with thirst. His life is at stake. So pants my soul for you, O God. Myself, I long for God, he's saying. I pant for him like an animal would a stream of water. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng to lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping holy day or keeping festival, some versions will say. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Just looking at that, you can notice what the situation is. The feeling of thirst that he has for God comes partly from his absence from the presence of God, or at least from the presence of God at the temple where he would join his fellow Israelites in worship and service in the presence of God and in celebration there. For some reason now, he's not able to do that. And it's complicated by maybe some around who are taunting him. Where's your faith? Where's your God? I thought you hoped in him. Why are you way off here separated from appearing before him? The memory of his having been there and his having led is making his faith struggle even worse. Isn't it odd how that happens? You can remember the high points in your spiritual journey, and sometimes that only deepens the experience of challenge or dissatisfaction that you're passing through. The advantage this man has is that he knows what he's thirsty for. Not everybody who's dissatisfied realizes what he's really thirsty for. We're made for God. We're made in his image. We're made for fellowship with him. Our real self finds its fulfillment in company with him and right relationship with him. And even in the worship and service of him with other members of his family. And that's what this man is saying he's going through. My soul is cast down. I have to question it and ask why. Look at part two now. The next part contains a little bit of an explanation for what he's going through. This is Psalm 42 beginning at verse 6. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and of Mount Mizar. I might stop here for just a second and explain what we're talking about here. He's removed, far removed from Jerusalem, way to the north, at the highest point of the land, looking back down toward it, from near where the Jordan River would have originated. Very near where we think the mount that was where Jesus asked his disciples who people said that he was, where Peter made the great confession. Well, here he is, remembering and being cast down. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Images from powerful movement of and sound of water, either describing the memories that are flooding over him, or the experience of sorrow that is flooding over him, or the recognition of God's power. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Notice the strangeness of that sound. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. I shall again praise Him, my God and my salvation. There is a little bit more of the explanation for this. The deep emotion that he experiences here, and the difficult spiritual journey that he's in here, involves his having to remember while he is being mocked and while he is feeling like the God whom he's depended upon has forgotten him for the time being. He knows that God hasn't forgotten him intellectually, but in his experience, he's feeling like that's what's happened. And it's made worse by the adversaries who taunt him, he says, all day long. They're like a deadly wound in my bones, like a pain inside of me. Agony in that way. Where is your God? And then he says, why are you thinking this? Why are you downcast? You know God hasn't forgotten you. You know that God is your help. He's your rock. Hope in Him. This won't last forever. That's what he's saying to himself. And then that leads, thirdly, to the prayer, the actual request part of this. What he's actually asking God to do for him now. I think we can learn from this. He says, vindicate me, or it could be translated, judge in my favor. Judge me, but in my favor, O God. Now, if you think of their taunting, where is your God? What he's really asking is, God, do something to show that I'm right for believing in you and that you are there. Perhaps you faced some sort of challenge like that at one time or another. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why have you cast me off? Now we see the downcast feeling comes from feeling cast off. Why is that? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And the implied question is, why do you let this go on so long? Now the request, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. That would stand for the presence of God. Now you can think of what he's asking. The enemies, the ungodly, the oppressors are ridiculing him. And in his mind, he is seeing what a thing it would be if God would send out the light of his glory and the power of his truth. And if they were to lead this singer back to his presence and service and worship, and like almost a triumphal parade in the presence of his enemies, you can almost hear him thinking, my words now, that would shut them up. That would be vindication. Then I would go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. This song is said to be a song of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah had been appointed by David, the prophet of God, to lead in the singing at the temple services, to lead in that part of the worship. This is for them. And their fulfillment would be to get to do what they had been appointed to do. That's what it. So why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Most of us know what it's like to have to remind ourselves of things that we already know and have to encourage ourselves to do things we already want to do and intend to do. We also know what it's like to have to recharge and renew and to remind ourselves that with God's help we can do it. That's what's happening here. Let's just offer some brief observations about this before we move on. First off, this is someone who understands the persistent human problem of a thirst for meaning and a thirst for satisfaction and a thirst for happiness and joy and a thirst for life. The thing that I mentioned earlier about him having the advantage of knowing what he thirsts for is no small advantage. Oh, how we all wish that we all could always know what it is that we're hungry and thirsty for. Have you had that experience ever? What do you want for supper tonight? Oh, I don't know what I want. Are you hungry? Yeah, I'm real hungry. What do you want? I don't know. And if you put that in more important things of life, then the more serious challenge it is to living well. This man says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And more specifically, for his face, for his presence, for fellowship with him, for celebration of his greatness and goodness. Second, notice from the reading the honest spirituality. I remind myself sometimes that real spirituality does not always come with an advertiser's smile. You know, the advertiser of a product who can have always big eyes and the great happiness. And you have to deal with people who are facing the realities of struggles in life at some period. Now, we're not suggesting that it should always be downcast. That's not what this psalm is saying, these two psalms. What we're talking about is how do we make it through those times? Honest spirituality is not afraid to face up to its own emotions and thoughts. And honest spirituality realizes that there will be the valley of the shadow as well as a table spread for us in the presence of our enemies. Thirdly, the anchor of this whole thing is Psalm 42 and verse 8. The other three stanzas, the three stanzas are equal except for this one verse that occurs right in the middle of this. And it says this, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. His steadfast love, as we've said over and over in our Bible class here, is the covenant love of God, the faithful love of God, the loyal love of God, the love that God keeps because he promises. It's his mercy, his loving kindness, his goodness. The psalmist is saying, when I feel like my soul is cast down, God's steadfast love is what I'm really depending upon. It's what he commands toward me by day, and it's what sustains me by night. The God of my life is for me. I need to hear that, don't you? From time to time, need to be remembered of that, reminded of it. Well, that's what happens here in Psalm 42 and 43. And then the other thing is very important. At chapter 43, or Psalm 43 and verse 4, we have at the end of the verse, O God, my God. It's not just that there is a God like that who commands His love. It's not just that He's always been my rock. It's not just that I long for His presence. It's that He's my God. I'm His servant. I'm walking with Him. I'm one of His people. That's what he's saying here. This is a song for God's children, God's servants, for those who stand in covenant relation to Him. Now, think back over that for just a moment. Can't you find some points of contact for your life? Maybe in these last 7 or 8 weeks, or maybe just last week. But once in a while, we have to be prepared to pass through this. These things can help us in that way. And I want to kind of conclude our class tonight by just taking a look with you for a moment at how the concepts and the language of Psalms 42 and 43 show up either in the experience of Jesus or in what Jesus taught or what Jesus offers to us. For all of us in Him, this is an important part of this study. The language of Psalm 42 in verses 5 and 6 shows up in Jesus' life beginning that last week right before He suffers. John 12 and verse 27, for an example, the first of it. Now he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me for this hour, but for this purpose I've come to this hour. The Lord knew what it was like for his soul to be troubled. That's the kind of thing that the psalmist was telling us about and praying about. And in Matthew 26 and verse 38, when Jesus came with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane that night before he offered himself up for us, he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. In verse 37, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. A part of the Lord knowing what it's like to be brothers with us is passing through the worst of that feeling of sorrow and trouble that he had here in the garden. That language comes from Psalms 42 and 43. There's the teaching of Jesus. The ones he says are blessed in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst for being justified or counted righteous in the presence of God or right relationship with Him. The Lord says the one who has that thirst or that hunger is the one who is blessed, because His announcement in His ministry, that longing, that hunger can now be filled. And that leads to His claim, and it's an astonishing claim. We understand it in light of what we have been reading from these two Psalms. John 4 and verse 14, in his conversation with the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In John 6 and verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, he's not talking about physically. He's talking about the thirst of the soul. He's claiming that he uniquely is the one who can satisfy that thirst. Somebody who is thirsty for the living God needs to look to Jesus, because he's the one who comes to answer that need. In Revelation 21, we get to the Bible's closing scenes of encouragement. What a wonder it is when in Revelation 21 and verse 6, he says, It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. He gives it freely. He offers it to all of us. That's what is extended to us through the gospel. When we make the good confession that we believe that's who Jesus is, and when we are united with him in baptism, and when we are loyal to him, we'll find out eventually that thirst in our soul that we all will have known in one way or another will be answered, fulfilled. Thank you so much for being with us for our class tonight. Hope you'll think over Psalms 42 and 43. John D. is going to lead us in another song, and then John E. is going to offer our announcements for us, and then we will pray together. Thank you again.